Happy Mother's Day to all our moms here today. We're glad that you chose to worship with us. We've got a display table here. We invited you to bring pictures of your mom and let us honor her in that way. We're going to be having some prizes in just a few minutes. And we have a rose for every mom that's here today, too, so that'll be handed out at the end of the service. We just wanted you to know how much we appreciate you and how much we love you and all that you've done. So feel free to participate in that in just a few minutes. But here on Sunday mornings at North Point, we've begun a series on building better families. That definition of family has been kind of stretched and elongated and changed and morphed and evolved into many meanings today. And indeed, there are many ways that families are manifested that are biblical and holy and sanctified by God. But God was the author of the family. God is the ultimate builder of the family. And He left us a plan in Scripture that tells us how we can build better relationships and better families. And by the way, that's what family is all about. It's about relationship. It's about growing in love with each other. It's about respecting each other. It's about growing in grace and in godliness. And this morning we're going to talk about the issue of submission from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. But while I was preparing this sermon, I came across somebody that had done a Facebook poll, and they asked the question, what makes it hard for you to serve other people? What makes it difficult to serve other people? Someone wrote and said, serving is hard when it doesn't fit into my schedule or plan. Like when I want to go for a walk or take a long bath, but my aging parent needs me to sort their meds, run an errand, or simply be with them. Someone else wrote and said, it's hard when their need seems endless. I don't want to risk helping or serving because I may get sucked in, being swallowed up in the serving and not getting to be the me I think I am or should be. Somebody else said, there is so much limited time and energy left after a demanding work day. Our basic responsibilities, whether it's the young kids or corporate world, how do you balance the need for rest and self-care in serving others? But my favorite answer to that thing was once somebody that wrote, what makes it so hard to serve others? Others. Short and sweet. I like those kind of answers. Now, you may be wondering what serving has to do with submission and what it has to do with submitting to each other. But I would contend today that we're going to talk about submission. We don't like that word. That word has loaded meaning for us. And every pastor that I know of kind of treads carefully around this piece of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. But I think it's very, really easy to figure out what the Apostle Paul is saying here. We are going to look at that verse that enjoins wives to submit to their husbands. But we're going to look at what it says before, and we're going to look at what it says after also, because you can't really understand that submission passage without looking at the whole of what the Scripture is teaching us about that. And I would contend that men probably most of all have emphasized that part of the Scripture to the detriment of the rest. But we think of submission as something that's negative. We think of submission as being vanquished or conquered. And through gritted teeth, because of fear of retribution, we agree that we're going to do what the other person says. That's a wrong understanding of submission. That's not at all what submission is about. That is subjugation. When you are subjugated, you are forced at the point of a gun or a spear or intimidation or fear to do something that you really don't feel like doing, you really don't think is fair, and that's not submission at all. Submission is a choice that we make. It's an act of the will. It's an act of your character, and when the odds are totally against you, when the only way to save your life to give in is to rebel as subtly as you can, that is not submission, that's subjugation. And I want to draw a clear, sharp line between those two things today. I want to challenge your understanding of what it means to submit, because submission is not enjoined only to wives in Ephesians chapter 5. It's told all through the Scripture that we are to submit to each other. Submission is calculated. It's evaluated. It's a decision that is based on trust, integrity, and love. And there cannot be true submission if there is not trust, integrity, and love to those that you are submitting to. Otherwise, it's just bullying. It's subjugation. It's being told what you're going to do and when you're going to do it. And I would contend this morning that we start out by understanding that submission is an act of the will. It's rooted in love. It's based in integrity. And it is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's getting real quiet in here. We need to understand what true submission is, and it's not what the world has been telling us. You see, submission is an overriding principle here in the Bible. If you look at Ephesians 5:21, he begins this whole series of things where he talks about wives submitting to your husbands and husbands loving your wives as Christ loves the church by kind of stating the guiding principle of all of this. And listen to what he says. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Just in case you don't get it, Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus, this is not a hierarchical kind of thing where one is better than the other and the lesser submits to the stronger, the weaker to the stronger. That's not at all what it's about. Submission happens to each other. The church needs to submit to each other, male, female, it doesn't matter. We are to submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. It talks about that in other places too. Following Christ is a submitted life. You cannot follow Christ without submitting yourself to Christ and to each other. So it starts out with a universal truth that says submission is the way to go, whether you're a husband, whether you're a wife, whether you're single, whether you're married. It doesn't matter whether you're young, whether you're old. None of that matters. Submission is to be a way of life. Paul puts it this way in another one. He says, submit to one another, preferring one over yourself. You see, it's that life of others. Submission is just a way of saying, your rights are more important than my rights. It's that way of living that says, what I want is not nearly as important as what Christ wants. We have to understand that submission is a submitted life, is a Christ life. The life that goes from you controlling your life to saying to Jesus Christ, Lord, I want you to control my life. Jesus submitted himself to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, take this cup from me if you will, but nevertheless, I want your will to be done instead of mine. That's submission. That's the kind of submission that the Bible talks about. And it's based on an inward trust that no matter what the circumstances of your life are, you trust God because He loves you, because He has the best plan for you, and you know that you are going to come out on top no matter what because God is your guide. That's why we can submit to God. The opposite of submission is not independence. Okay, I want you to catch this. The opposite of submission is not independence, it's selfishness. That's just the way it is. If you're not willing to submit to God, if you're not willing to submit to each other, you're essentially saying, I'm in charge, I'm going to have the say, I'm going to go where I want to go, I'm going to do what I want to do. And the whole life of a Christian is to be submitted. It starts out when you're young. The Bible says, children, obey your parents, because this is the first commandment with promise. It says, submit yourself to your parents. Wow. It begins then. And then it goes on and says, submit to each other. Submit to Christ. Submit to God. Submit to each other. You know, there's just submission all over the place in Scripture. So to narrow this down and say, wives, well, that wasn't very good. Why? There we go. Wives, submit to me, is to misuse Scripture. It is an abuse of Scripture to take that little verse out of context and say, wives, submit to me. You better be their husband, too, when you say that, by the way. Because it says, wives, submit to your husband. Not to that guy's, you know, over there. It says, submit to your husband. But it is to take that out of context if you're not willing to submit to your wife, too. Submission is a mutual responsibility in the body of Christ. Okay? So it's the overriding principle in Scripture is submission. So let's get into it. Then he gives instructions to wives. And here's what it says. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. It's a very important part of that is to submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body and the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Now, this is very hard for some of us, especially Americans. We are so independent-minded. We value independence. We have a declaration of independence that made us a free nation, and we love to be independent. The problem is that in Scripture, the people that are independent die spiritually. You cannot be completely independent in this life. Politically, you can be independent, but you can't be spiritually independent in this life. On their 50th wedding anniversary, a couple summed up the reason for their long and happy marriage. The husband said, "I've never tried to be selfish. After all, there's no I in the word marriage." And the wife said, "For my part, I've never corrected my husband's spelling." Submission is a choice that we make. And when God says that the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, there are very strong implications for the husband in that. Husband, if you are going to claim that your wife must submit to you, then you must love her like Christ loves the church. And we're going to get into that in a few moments when we talk about the husband's responsibilities. But there is a circle of submission here, and Paul is illustrating the kind of submission he means. Submit to your husbands as you would to the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Do you find it difficult to submit to the Lord? Truth be told, it depends on your character. But there are times when we submit, when we struggle with our submission to Jesus Christ. And when we struggle, now listen, we all do that. Jesus says, do this, and we say, I don't know. You know, Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, and you say, you haven't met my neighbor. And we kind of struggle with that. But what is the overcoming factor in when we struggle with obeying Christ and submitting ourselves to Christ? What is it that causes us to say yes, finally? I'll tell you what it is. It is the overwhelming understanding that Jesus loves us more than life itself because He died for us and because He has the best for us in mind no matter what He commands us to do. And we can trust Him that if we obey Him, that if we submit ourselves to Him, that He will see us through to the other side. There's no doubt about that in your mind. Who decides whether a wife is submissive or not? Anybody care to answer that? I think the husband plays a huge role in that. Because it says, wives, submit to yourselves as Christ is the head of the church. You see, the husbands play the role. Christ laid down His life for the church. And later on, Paul is going to say, husbands, you need to lay down your life for your wife. That determining factor is that Colossians 3:19 says this, husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Now that was a big statement in Paul's day. It's a big statement today. But that was a bigger statement in Paul's day when women were generally considered to be property. And you could treat them any way you wanted to, and almost nobody would hesitate to correct you. I mean, would try to correct you on it. And for Paul to heighten that bar to even just speaking harshly to your wife was a tremendous step forward. And Paul says, don't do it. Don't even speak harshly to your wife. That's not how love expresses itself. And I think he also was giving men a key to submission from your wife in this life is to love them unselfishly. Don't give them any reason to not trust you. And so this whole thing of submission here is a big circle that goes round and round. And then he comes to instructions to the husbands. Now, look at this. Let's look at this together. Because actually, Paul's instructions to the husband are longer and more detailed than his instructions to wives. He says, for husbands, this means love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church, He gave up His life for her. Now, I've often said this, but I want to say it again. Who has the tougher job here? Is it tougher for a woman to submit to her husband, or is it tougher for a man to love his wife so much that he would lay down his life for her? I think the answer is pretty clear. We have to overcome selfishness, men. We have to transfer ownership of our lives from ourselves to our wives. That's part of laying down our lives for Him. And then it says, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's Word. He did this to present her to Himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man... Sorry. Get a hold of yourself, Joe. It is all right. In the same way, husbands ought to... I don't want to read it again. For a man... For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of His body. I want you to notice that Paul has much more to say about men's instructions and responsibilities to making a harmonious relationship. By the way, that's what this is all about. It's so a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, can live together in harmony. Some of you have lived in disharmony. You know what that's like. You know what pain that brings to your life. You know how it leaks into every area of your relationships and everything that you do. And you don't want that anymore. You see God's plan for harmonious relationships. And here's what it is. It's for submission, mutual love, mutual laying down of your lives for each other. Love your wife as Christ loved the church, giving up His life for her. Please, man, don't tell your wife, "Honey, I would die for you." Because A, you know the chances of that ever coming true are pretty slim, right? And B, if you aren't willing to give up a golf outing or a TV show or money you were saving for a boat or sacrificing time for yourself to spend with her, your proclamations of laying down your life for your wife doesn't carry much water. So be careful what you say. Okay, you say, "I want to have that kind of relationship with my wife," and every man here, I hope you do. It makes life so much better. When Sandy and I are in sync, life is so much sweeter. It can still be raining out. We can still have financial difficulties. The kids can still be in rebellion. You know, all that stuff can happen. And yet, if I am in sync with my wife, life somehow takes on a greater and grander meaning. And that's what we want. Okay, you say, "I want to have that kind of relationship with my wife, but I don't know how. How do I do that?" Well, maybe, you know, it might be possible that we overthink this a little bit. Maybe the idea of laying down your life for your wife is to buy her a new car, or take her on a cruise, or some other home run. Guys, you know, I think those things are fine. But that's not laying down your life for your wife. Sometimes we overthink this too much. And guys, we go for the home run. When really, life is about singles and advancing the runner. Sorry for the baseball metaphor. It's what I know. You know, it's small ball. It's every day just doing your job, getting in there, doing the right thing. Maybe it's much more simpler than we think.
And I am romantically challenged. My wife is from Venus, and I am from Mars. But we must learn to live together on Earth. Although I don't like to talk or share my feelings, I am here tonight to do both, because I love my wife.
Who's up?
Hi, my name is Dan, and I am romantically challenged.
Hi, Dan.
Dan, I want you to share your feelings, even though it goes against everything you stand for as a man.
I tried the trick that Jerry taught us last week.
A trick is what a two-bit magician does at a county fair. Jerry was given a technique, and a technique...
Hey, Dr. Phil, let him finish.
So anyway, I decided I'd use Jerry's technique last week. My wife came to me all exasperated and pulled her hair out and whatnot about her job. And I used Jerry's words exactly. I said, now honey, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to listen or fix it? And what'd she say?
Listen.
Fix it.
And so anyway, I tried to listen. I really did. But in the middle of listening, I came up with a 7-point plan to fix it. I'm so ashamed.
It's okay, Dan. Hey, you're multitasking, all right? And that is very hard for your untrained one-track man brain to do. Feel proud of that, all right? Who's next?
Hey, I'll go. Hey, guys, I'm Jerry, and I'm was romantically challenged.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey. Yeah, I actually went through the program, and now I'm a real romantic, according to someone at home.
All right. Okay, Jerry.
Remember when we talked about how we're supposed to love our wives like Christ loves the church? Well, gentlemen, mission accomplished. Okay? This weekend, I saw some extra charges on Cindy's bank card. So, yeah. But I, instead of yelling and screaming like I normally would, I acted in a more Christ-like manner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I simply turned over her nightstand and her scrapbooking table and said, "Get out of here, money changer."
Oh, my God.
I don't think that's what the Ephesians 5 passage means.
Okay. I'm sorry, Bill Gates. Who are you?
No, I think when it says that we should love our wives like Christ loved the church, that means that we're supposed to serve and sacrifice.
Hey, I was cleansing the temple.
Okay, different perspective, not necessarily right, just different. All right, I think the question is, how many of you have ever done anything for your wife without desiring anything in return? Maybe sitting on the couch, cuddling up to her, watching a movie, maybe The Notebook.
Hmm? Are you even married?
Jesus wasn't married. Now look, the point I'm trying to... No, I'm not, and that stings a little bit. I have read parts of a lot of relationship books, and if anyone thinks they can lead this group better than I can, put your hand down, Jerry. I am sharing my feelings, and that's what you need to do with your wives. Practice makes perfect. Who wants to go next?
I guess I could give it a shot. Hi, guys. My name is Sheldon, and I am romantically challenged.
Hi, Sheldon.
I thought I'd just share a few things from the program that I've learned so far. First, if your wife says she doesn't know where she wants to go eat, well, that's pretty much code for Italian and expensive Italian. And secondly, if you're getting her an anniversary gift, the Snuggies, not really a very good idea, even if it's the leopard print. Learn that one the hard way. And then third, the simple act of doing dishes is a big, big win. I mean, a big one. So, do all the dishes you can. Thanks.
I have no idea what you said, but that was good. Bathroom break isn't yet.
Sorry, I gotta go. Sorry, guys.
Oh, Mr. Big Guy doesn't want to share, does he?
Not tonight.
Probably doesn't care about his wife.
Okay, I'll share. Okay. This is a picture of my wife and kids. I've been married for 20 years. We married young, and I don't regret it. Have we had our share of storms? Sure. Do we have some amazing memories? Too many to mention. Do I try to fix things? I do. But it's just because after 20 years of marriage, I still want to ride in and be my wife's knight in shining armor. I remember when we got engaged, her father looked at me and he said, "Just love her the way Christ loved the church." I smiled and said I would, having no idea what that meant. And I still don't know if I understand it. But you know what I want? I want to be a man who wakes up every morning and asks the question, how can I bless my wife? And God, men,
what you want? I mean, isn't your wife worth it?
Hey, wait. Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Sit down, Jerry.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Okay, enough. Sit down. What is going on? Sit down. Please, sit down.
I need a wife.
Need to overthink it, guys. How can you bless your wife today? How can you be a blessing to her right now? That's what it means to love your wife as Christ loved the church. There isn't a moment that Christ doesn't love you and I. There isn't a moment when we are out of His mind. There isn't a moment that He doesn't care about us. That's the goal that we should have as men who love our wives. How can I bless my wife today? It's much easier than we think. And the goal, the desired outcome, is this. Paul says this, listen to these words. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. The two are united into one. What a beautiful picture. No longer two individuals, but there is the creation of new life. God is a creator. Not only do we come together and create new life together, but we are created as new life also. The Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus are one God. Husband and wife become one couple. We are together in Jesus Christ. That's the outcome of submission. That's the outcome of loving your wife as Christ loved the church. And then he says, this is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. That's what it's about. That's all there is really to it. And yet it becomes one of the most difficult things to achieve. Why is it? Because we're selfish. Because we want our own way. That's what the flesh is like. And the battle of the ages is over whether we are going to want our way, my way, or our way, the couple way. I want to ask you a question as we prepare to close here this morning. God intended to be the relationship between a man and a woman to be a dance, not a wrestling match. And if your relationship is more like a wrestling match than a dance today, I want you to pray about this message. I want you to take it to heart. The Bible says, in as much as is in you, work towards harmony in the church. I want to tweak that just a little bit for our purposes here today. And ask you the question, men, women, together, in as much as it is within you, work together for harmony in your marriage. That means submission. That means that sometimes you're going to have to submit to the other partner, whether it's the husband or the wife. But when each partner is looking out for being a blessing to the other, there is no end to what God can do in that kind of a relationship. Don't worry about yourself. Worry about your partner. And God will bring it together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning as we close this time together, I thank you for your word that is so powerful in our lives. And God, I pray for every marriage relationship that's represented here today. God, I pray that you would bind them together in strong cords that cannot be broken. I pray that you would make them the individuals that God wants them to be and the couple that God wants them to be. Lord, for any hearts that are hardened here this morning, for any marriages that have become competitive in nature, God, I pray that you would break that spirit. I pray that you would bring submission where there's competition, and that you would replace joy with striving, or striving with joy, God, that they would enjoy the presence of each other and the presence of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for those that are not married here today. God, we're going to talk about those things in a few weeks, but Lord, for those that are contemplating marriage, I pray that they would not settle for anything less than a man or a woman of God. For those that find themselves in a single situation, Lord, help them to apply this to their lives also and their relationships with other people.